Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we gather this evening, again, we come knowing the rest of the story. Indeed, you knew the rest of the story. You knew from before creation that we would sin. And you planned to send a Savior. You planned to send your own Son to die in our place, that we might be your sons and daughters, forgiven sons and daughters. You knew all along that the story would include this day, Good Friday. You knew it would include a cross. You knew it would include the death of your Son. And yet you put that story into play because you also knew how it would end. That by His death we would find forgiveness, and by His resurrection we would find hope. Father, on this day, help us to realize truly the good that was accomplished for us. We do pray that the words of my mouth together with the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can tell if a tree is healthy, Jesus told his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, if it bears good fruit. You can tell if a tree is healthy if it bears good fruit. A sick tree, on the other hand, bears bad fruit. And further he said, if you see bad fruit, cut that tree down and throw it into the fire. Jesus wasn't talking as an arborist. He was talking as a teacher. And his specific target was the false prophets who would sneak into the church as wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. As we've seen throughout this season of Lent, Jesus wasn't afraid to mix metaphors. False teachers may be able to dress like prophets, he was saying. They may wear the uniform. They may take on Elijah's mantle, even a philosopher's robes, but you better listen for the product of their teaching. Do they come with humility, gentleness, and love? Do they bring people together? What do their disciples look like? The way to tell a sheep from a wolf, Jesus says, is by the product of their teaching. Good trees bear good fruit. That's the truth when determining the authenticity of a teacher in the church, or when one considers even the truth and the beauty of Jesus' cross. On Good Friday, our thoughts turn to the tree to which Jesus was impaled at Golgotha. That good tree bore good fruit for us and for all people. Trees play a significant role in the holy history of God's people. There in the garden, before the fall, there were both the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. The one marks our fall. The other marks paradise lost, but also paradise regained in Christ. The tree of life is there in Genesis, and it is also there in Revelation. It's there at the beginning of the Bible story of salvation, and it is there at the end, in a new heaven and a new earth. Let me tell you, I've never really grabbed hold of calling the cross a tree. But the apostles liked doing it. Before the Sanhedrin, they testified, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree." And Paul wrote to the Galatians, referencing all the way back to Deuteronomy 21. He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And in his first letter, Peter writes that he himself, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. In each of these cases, the word translated tree refers to the wood of a tree, especially to the trunk of a tree, that part that might provide the planks of a cross. In the Middle Ages, artists often depicted Jesus crucified on a tree, even on the tree of life. One such piece is displayed in the Galleria dell'Accademia in Florence, Italy. It's called simply the Tree of Life. Painted by a 14th century artist, it depicts Jesus suspended on the Tree of Life. And that tree has 12 branches, with each bearing the fruit that depicts one of the sacred events in the story of Scripture. Events such as the Annunciation, the Nativity, the presentation of Christ in the temple, his baptism, his transfiguration, his teachings, his institution of the Lord's Supper, his resurrection, his ascension. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil appears in that same painting at the base of the painting alongside a defeated Satan. The painting clearly shows the cross to be at the very center of everything. Our holy history converges on and flows out of the cross. And the cross is the tree of life. The message is clear. This is why he came, and this is what we have because of him. He died so that we might live. As we see Christ suspended from a tree so rich with life and fruit, it might be easy to miss the suffering there. It was only years later that artists began to show us Jesus' wounds on the cross. It may well be that the terrible suffering resulting from the great plague in Europe led to artists presenting a truly suffering Christ on the cross. For everyone who receives Christ, the suffering associated with the passion and crucifixion of Christ brings added fruit. As Christ overcame his suffering, we can overcome ours. It's his love that makes bearing pain possible. A recent book by James Cone entitled The Cross and the Lynching Tree conveys this truth so beautifully and at times so shockingly. Cone calls on us to confront the lynching of an estimated 5,000 African Americans between 1880 and 1940. What's more, he wants us to see how those lynchings are a tragic echo of the public lynching of Jesus at the cross. And Cone uses black poetry to bring the horror of Christ hanging from a tree, but also the horror of all who suffer unjustly. Here's one example. Poor little Jesus boy made him be born in a manger. World treated him so mean, treats me mean too. They whipped him up and they whipped him down. They whipped that man all over town. Look how they done my Lord. In his conclusion, Cone writes, the cross needs the lynching tree to remind us of the reality of suffering, to keep the cross from becoming a symbol of abstract, sentimental piety. Yet the lynching tree also needs the cross, without which it becomes simply an abomination. It is the cross that points in the direction of hope. There is hope in suffering. Hope is one of the good fruits of this lynching tree that we call the cross of Christ. It calls us to repentance and faith, to love and redemption. And that is why we call this Friday good, the fruit of forgiveness born on the tree of the cross is good. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen. I would ask this evening, if you've not yet done so, that you take a moment to please register in the registration book. It's right along the center aisle. If you're seated there, would you open it up, fill it out, and pass it on to those beside you? And also, if you're at the end of the aisle, would you send it back to the center? The ushers can gather those up, and the offerings have been carried forward. And again, a reminder that during our closing hymn this evening, if you'd like to place a nail in the cross, again, they're on a stand here in front of the front pew, and the cross there, obviously, with the holes for you to place the nails into. Thank you.